Today is the third day of August. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back around the global campfire. I'm Brian, and it is an honor and a privilege and even a joy to be in this place. Probably my favorite place to be. Yeah, the safest place I know here around the global campfire. We gather together from all four corners of the world, and we come in, and our purpose for existing and being here at all is centered around the scriptures, the Word of God. And every day we gather together and hear them and let them wash over us and let them seep into us, watering the soil in our hearts and cultivating what is good in us, hopefully over time starving out what is false or evil in us. That's a kind of constant thing. We're in the deep summer here in the rolling hills of Tennessee, and so we can do the weeding, right? We can do the weeding of the landscape here, or the driveway, or whatever, or of the garden that my beautiful wife, she has such a beautiful creative garden. She can weed it and then go there. It's all good. The soil's clean. The crops are coming up. Only what's supposed to be growing is growing. That lasts about a whole, 10 hours. I mean, it lasts like by the next day, something that doesn't belong, a weed, has sprung up somewhere. So it's a never-ending, ongoing process that we have to participate in if we're talking about the soil of our hearts. But as we do that work, the scriptures wash in and bring the rains and allow the fruit of the Spirit to grow. And the scriptures constantly teach us, you know, what's a weed and what's a fruit. What is good and what is evil, what to keep, what to throw away, what to embrace, what to avoid. Anyway, I am so glad to be here today in this grand rhythm that we have every day, just showing up every day like we have for 20 years and, well, now going into the 8th month of the 21st year. Grateful to be here with you today. Excited to take the next step forward. Let's do that. That leads us back to where we left off yesterday. 2 Chronicles. Today, chapter 33, verse 14 through 34, verse 33. After this, Manasseh rebuilt the outer wall of the city of David from west of Gihon Spring in the valley to the entrance of Fishgate. He made the wall go around the Ophel, and he built it very high. He put army commanders in every fortified city in Judah. Manasseh got rid of the foreign gods and the idol in the Lord's temple. He got rid of the altars he had built in the temple on the Lord's mountain and in Jerusalem. He built the Lord's altar and sacrificed fellowship offerings and thank offerings on it. And he told Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. The people continued to sacrifice at the illegal places of worship, but they sacrificed only to the Lord their God. Everything else about Manasseh, including his prayer to his God and the words that the seer spoke to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, are in the records of the kings of Israel. His prayer and how God accepted it are written in the records of Hosea. The things he did before he humbled himself are also written there. This includes all his sins and unfaithfulness and the places where he built illegal worship sites and set up idols and poles dedicated to the goddess Asherah. Manasseh lay down in death with his ancestors. They buried him in his own palace. His son Amon succeeded him as king. Amon was 22 years old when he began to rule, and he ruled for 2 years in Jerusalem. He did what the Lord considered evil, as his father Manasseh had done. Amon sacrificed to all of the idols his father Manasseh had made, and he worshipped them. He didn't humble himself in front of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had humbled himself. Instead, Amon continued to sin. His officials plotted against him and killed him in his palace. Then the people of the land killed everyone who had plotted against King Amon. They made his son Josiah king in his place. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to rule, and he was king for 31 years in Jerusalem. He did what the Lord considered right. He lived in the ways of his ancestor David and never stopped living this way. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still a boy, he began to dedicate his life to serving the God of his ancestor David. In his 12th year as king, he began to make Judah and Jerusalem clean by destroying the illegal places of worship, poles dedicated to the goddess Asherah, carved idols, and metal idols. He had the altars of the various Baal gods torn down. He cut down the incense altars that were above them. He destroyed the Asherah poles, carved idols, and metal idols. He ground them into powder and scattered the powder over the tombs of those who had sacrificed to them. He burned the bones of the priests on their altars. So he made Judah and Jerusalem clean. In the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, Simeon, and as far as Naphtali, he removed all their temples, tore down the altars, beat the Asherah poles and idols into powder, and cut down all the incense altars everywhere in Israel. Then he went back to Jerusalem. In the 18th year of his reign, as he was making the land and the temple clean, Josiah sent Shaphan, son of Azaliah, Maaseiah, the mayor of the city, and Joah, the royal historian and son of Joahaz, to repair the temple of the Lord his God. They came to the chief priest Hilkiah and gave him the money that had been brought to God's temple, the money that the Levite doorkeepers had collected from the tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim, from all who were left in Israel, from everyone in the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, and from the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They gave the money to the foremen who were in charge of the Lord's temple. These foremen gave it to the workmen who were restoring and repairing the temple. These workers included carpenters and builders. They were to buy quarried stones and wood for the fittings and beams of the buildings that the kings of Judah had allowed to become run down. The men did their work faithfully under the supervision of Jahath and Obadiah, Levites descended from Merari, and Zechariah and Meshullam, descendants of Kohath. The Levites, who were skilled musicians, also supervised the workers and directed all the workmen on the various jobs. Some of the Levites served as scribes, officials, or gatekeepers. When they brought out the money that had been deposited in the Lord's temple, the priest Hilkiah found the book of the Lord's teachings written by Moses. Hilkiah told the scribe Shaphan, "I have found the book of the teachings in the Lord's temple." Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. Shaphan took the book to the king and reported, "We are doing everything you told us to do. We took the money that was donated in the Lord's temple and gave it to the supervisors and the workmen." Then the scribe Shaphan told the king, The priest Hilkia has given me a book. And Chiffon read it to the king. When the king heard what the teaching said, he tore his clothes in distress. Then the king gave an order to Hilkia, Ahikam, son of Chiffon, Abdon, son of Micah, the scribe Chiffon, and the royal official Asiya. He said, "On behalf of those who are left in Israel and Judah, and me, ask the Lord about the words in this book that was found. The Lord's fierce anger has been poured on us because our ancestors did not obey the Lord's word by doing everything written in this book." So Hilkia and the king's officials went to talk to the prophet Huldah about this matter. She was the wife of Shallum, son of Tokath, and grandson of Hasra. Shallum was in charge of the royal wardrobe. Huldah was living in the second part of Jerusalem. She told them, "This is what the Lord God of Israel says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on this place and on the people living here according to the curses written in the book that was read to the king of Judah. I will do this because they have abandoned me and sacrificed to other gods in order to make me furious. Therefore, my anger will be poured out on this place and will never come to an end." Huldah added, "Tell Judah's king who sent you to me to ask the Lord a question. This is what the Lord God of Israel says about the words you heard. You had a change of heart and humbled yourself in front of God when you heard my words against this place and those who live here. You humbled yourself, tore your clothes in distress, and cried in front of me. So I will listen to you, declares the Lord. That is why I'm going to bring you to your ancestors. I'm going to bring you to your grave in peace, and your eyes will not see any of the disaster I'm going to bring on this place and those who live here." So they reported this to the king. Then the king sent for all the respected leaders of Judah and Jerusalem to join him. The king, everyone in Judah, everyone living in Jerusalem, the priests, the Levites, and all the people, young and old, went up to the Lord's temple. He read everything written in the book of the promise found in the Lord's temple so that they could hear it. The king stood in his place and made a promise to the Lord that he would follow the Lord and obey his commands, instructions, and laws with all his heart and soul. He said he would live by the terms of the promise written in this book. He also made all those found in Jerusalem and Benjamin join with him in the promise. And the people of Jerusalem lived according to the promise of God, the God of their ancestors. Josiah got rid of all the disgusting idols throughout Israelite territory. He made all people found in Israel serve the Lord their God. As long as he lived, they didn't stop following the Lord God of their ancestors. Romans 16, 10 through 27. Greet Apelles, a true Christian. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, who is Jewish by birth like me. Greet those Christians who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have worked hard for the Lord. Greet dear Persis, who has worked very hard for the Lord. Greet Rufus, that outstanding Christian, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers and sisters who are with them. Greet Philegus and Julia, Nereus and his sister and Olympus and all God's people who are with them. Greet each other with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to watch out for those people who create divisions and who make others fall away from the Christian faith by teaching doctrine that is not the same as you have learned. Stay away from them. People like these are not serving Christ our Lord. They are serving their own desires. By their smooth talk and flattering words, they deceive unsuspecting people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, and this makes me happy for you. I want you to do what is good and to avoid what is evil. The God of peace will quickly crush Satan under your feet. May the goodwill of our Lord Jesus be with you. Timothy, my co-worker, greets you. So do Lucius, Jason, Sosipater, who are Jewish by birth like me. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, send you Christian greetings. Gaius greets you. He is host to me and the whole church. Erastus, the city treasurer, greets you. Quartus, our brother in the Christian faith, greets you. God can strengthen you by the good news and the message I tell about Jesus Christ. He can strengthen you by revealing the mystery that was kept in silence for a very long time, but now is publicly known. The everlasting God ordered that what the prophets wrote must be shown to the people of every nation to bring them to the obedience that is associated with faith. God alone is wise. Glory belongs to him through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Psalm 26 by David. Judge me favorably, O Lord, because I have walked with integrity and I have trusted you without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and test me. Look closely into my heart and mind. I see your mercy in front of me. I walk in the light of your truth. I did not sit with liars, and I will not be found among hypocrites. I have hated the mob of evildoers and will not sit with wicked people. I will wash my hands in innocence. I will walk around your altar, O Lord, so that I may loudly sing a hymn of thanksgiving and tell about all your miracles. O Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. Do not sweep away my soul along with hardened sinners, or my life along with bloodthirsty people. Evil schemes are in their hands. Their right hands are full of bribes. But I walk with integrity. Rescue me and have pity on me. My feet stand on level ground. I will praise the Lord with the choirs in worship. Proverbs 20:19. Whoever goes around as a gossip tells secrets. Do not associate with a person whose mouth is always open. K. Okay, so in 2 Chronicles today, we read of the good and reforming King Josiah. And when Josiah realized just how far he and his people had fallen away from God's law, he pleaded for mercy. He tore his clothes in grief and fell before the Lord, but he didn't give up or remain dejected in the Lord's presence. He got up and worked diligently to wipe out Israel's idolatry and bring the nation back into their story as the chosen people of God, the people to reveal God to the world. And we have to do that too. We have to kind of realize the ways that we've drifted from our own story. Serious change starts when we recognize what we're allowing to happen to us and then repent, which means to change our mind. To change our mind and then go a different way. And by doing that, we change our ways. And then, we concluded Paul's letter to the Romans today, which is a centerpiece of the Christian faith, and so it's been a grand journey to go through it again. And in this letter, it's clearly articulated for Jew and Gentile alike, the good news that Jesus came to redeem and restore the entire world, and that as believers in that truth, we are in that story, and we have a role to play in that story. No matter where we are in these four corners of the world, no matter what our ethnicity may be, no matter what our upbringing may be, as he sums up the letter, he gives a final benediction. He says, "This message about Jesus Christ has revealed his plan for you Gentiles. A plan kept secret from the beginning of time. But now, as the prophets foretold, and as the eternal God has commanded, this message is made known to all Gentiles everywhere, so that they too might believe and obey him." And then our reading from Proverbs today. It hits on a lot of different levels. A gossip, it says, goes around telling secrets. If you're the kind of person that hears something that's juicy, that's maybe of a personal nature or maybe private, and then you can't wait to share it, making yourself look as if you're concerned about it or connected or in the know, then you're a gossip. And that, I know, can be offensive or stark to hear. But not as offensive as gossip. Gossip has the power to completely destroy relationships and completely wipe out communities more completely, more profoundly than almost anything else in the world. And that's why we regularly see the counsel of the scriptures to, like, not to refrain or to step back, but to completely avoid it altogether throughout the scriptures. The Proverbs says, don't associate with those people. Don't hang around with people whose mouths are always open. Don't be around the chatter. Here's the thing. It's not only like the dispenser of gossip, the gossiper. but also the one willing to ingest or listen to gossip who carries this burden. And we're not to be in that environment, the scriptures tell us. And it's, I mean, we might not have ever thought of it in these terms, but we've probably all experienced the effects of gossip. And the simple question that we have to ask ourselves is whether anything good has ever come from any gossip that we've dispensed or ingested. Gossip is one of the primary things that drives us into hiding. It pulls us behind walls. It makes us go underground in fear because it's not, like, gossip is not safe. In fact, it is something that has to be repaired. That being our word of the year, gossip creates deep, deep wounds, and it pushes us underground and into somewhere that feels safe. We cannot be safe among gossip. The Bible tells us that we are to confess our sins to each other and pray for each other so that we may be healed. That cannot happen in an environment of gossip. Like, in any way can that happen? And what's so insidious about it is that gossip sometimes gets masked as, like, concern. So if someone does confess their sins and there is prayer for each other, and then someone turns around and gossips about that, exposing a person, and they're not present and they have no defense, and they did not authorize this, then, man, the injuries that happen there destroy, wipe out entire communities sometimes. So if we are people who gossip, or people who participate in gossip by listening to it, then we are perpetuating a problem that is destroying our communities. It's like a cancer that eats from within and eats us alive. And we might not think that it's that insidious. We might not even realize in the moment what's happening. But we should hear the voice of wisdom and be a part of the healing rather than a part of the problem. By recognizing, by becoming aware when gossip comes our way, by being willing to shut it down, to simply say, you know, I have so much that I have to manage in my own life right now. I'm trying to keep my eyes focused there. I'm, like, really working on myself, that I can't take this on. I don't want to hear this, which may in fact get us gossiped about. But eventually, the fire starter, the troublemaker, the gossiper does get exposed. And, well, may that not be us. May we not be the cancer. May we not be the destroyer. I mean, I know that's, like, pretty direct. I've seen this play out in leadership for all of these years. I've seen what happens in communities this way. And it's all coming from brokenness. It's all coming from insecurity. It's all coming from the need to belong. But there are better ways of going about this. than being a destroyer, a gossip. And so, well, anyway, something to think about. And Holy Spirit, we invite you into this because we're everybody, all of us, it's like part of our kind of normal day-to-day interaction. And sometimes gossip creates the illusion of intimacy, fake intimacy, or it creates something that will fill us up inside and make us feel allied and belonging. It creates common enemy intimacy. And these things are so unhealthy. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. Help us have the awareness to see it and the strength to step away. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That is the website. The Daily Audio Bible app is home base as well. That's where you find out what's going on around here. And so, absolutely, in every way, do that. Get connected, be connected in any way that you can. With the app, you know, it's relatively new, and so we're still getting moved into it and building it out, but check out the community section. That is where the prayer wall lives. That is all new and vibrant. Check that out. Check out the watch section that is brand new in the community section. There's many things to watch, many visual resources, including us as a community, where we can see each other, and maybe even click the record a video button and leave your little 1 minute shout out and testimony. Check out the music section, all of the different music for meditation and contemplation that we find behind the Daily Audio Bible every day, as well as all kinds of other music that we've created can be found there. It is a place of connection, so check out that. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. With all humility, thank you. There is no global campfire that burns and keeps us warm. There is no place to come in, out from what's going on. This doesn't exist if we don't, if we're not in this together. So thank you humbly, deeply for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Father God, thank you for everything. Thank you for the DAB and the community of listeners. Lord, I thank you for Brian and Jill and the rest of the Harden family for their ministry and this podcast. And Lord, I just ask God if you will continue to bless them and all that. And Lord, I want to pray for the community of listeners, Lord. Lord, I want to pray for all those who have cancer and other sicknesses and illnesses in their bodies, Lord. Lord, I just want to pray and just ask God if you would just heal all those who need healing. Lord, I want to pray for broken marriages, those who are facing divorce. Lord, I pray, God, that all those marriages will be reconciled. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Lord, I want to pray for all those who don't know their purpose in life, who listen to the lies of the enemy. Lord, I pray that they will know who they are in Jesus, and that they will know the truth that is said about them. Lord, I thank you for each and every one of them. And I ask God if you'll continue to bless them. And I pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is Mike, a.k.a. Psalm 139:14. I'm from Salem, Oregon. God bless you and have a nice day.
Hi, everyone. It's Christy in Kentucky. Father, thank you for this most beautiful day. Today, we ask that you be with Mr. and Mrs. Crenshaw. Father, Mary has had a stroke, and as you know, Lord, her legs are causing her great pain, and she's having difficulty in walking. So we ask you, healer, our King, will you please touch and heal Mary's legs, Father. Give her the ability to walk without pain again. And Father, whatever the needs that Mr. Crenshaw has, we ask that you also meet those needs in your precious name. And for God's Life Speaker, you are such a wonderful friend. My heart just broke when I heard about Skylar. I cannot imagine the pain that this family is going through. But I do know that God is wrapping his loving arms around them and comforting in them in the way only he can do. Please, Lord Jesus. Family, I'm asking you to please pray for a family, Lonnie and Dan. Lonnie's husband has been diagnosed with ALS. And as many of you know, my beautiful husband passed from ALS into the loving arms of Jesus. The journey before he went home was very difficult. So I'm asking for healing for Dan. I'm asking the Lord to walk with them every step and let his presence be ever known to them. And we thank you, Lord. I'm praying for you as I hear your prayers. I want you all to know that I love you all, and I pray that each of you are having a most blessed and lovely day.
Hello. This is Trusting One Day at a Time. I'm asking for prayer today for my loved one who will be entering memory care on August 3rd. Please join me as I pray. Father in heaven, I lift up my loved one today and ask that your protection would be over his heart, his soul, mind, and emotions. Please cover and protect him with all the details that need covered while he is in care to keep him well in every way until you call him home to be with you. I ask for the details of hydration, bathroom needs, showering, sleeping well, and many other details that only you, Father, know which details are important for him to do well. Please give favor to him with all of his caregivers and give him a happy and joyful heart. I also ask for prayer for me that this transition of not having him around to take care of him full time will restore me fully and that my heart would be protected from the enemy trying to attack me with fear. I'm praying that I would be securely rooted in God's peace. Praise be to God that he has made a way in all of the details leading up to this placement. Father, I please continue to keep my eyes and ears wide open to receive your wisdom at each crossroad on this journey. And I also ask that my family would have their eyes of their heart and their soul open to receive your love and salvation, and that they would have their eyes and ears to see you in the details of this memory care journey. I love you, Lord, and I lift all this up and pray this in your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for praying along with me. God bless each and every one of you.
I come before the throne of grace, lifting up daughter in Duncanville for her friend's husband, Ned, with the kidney that's been removed, for her daughter, Ariel, that needs delivered from substance. She needs a job so she can be self-sufficient. Lord, we ask that you touch Ned right now, Lord, and give new life to his body, to his kidneys. And we ask that you be the sustaining power for Ariel, and that she will no longer struggle with substance abuse, and that this job will be something that she will absolutely love going to and find great peace in being able to take care of herself with her income. For Marlene's son, Tony, that is going to be going through a parole decision, Lord, let your perfect will be done in this situation. Guide this young man to serving you in righteousness. We lift up hands to heaven for Mark and Mary. We ask that you sustain Mark during this chemo and radiation, that his body will not suffer great damage because of it, and that you will touch every cell in his body and bring miraculous healing quickly, and that he will be full of energy and lifted up by your mighty hand. Jennifer in Texas, her husband still has no income. It's been a month now, and he is suffering, Father God. And we ask that you lift him up and be Jehovah Jireh, his provider, and that miraculously new parts will come in and extra income that's provided by you out of nowhere. And we give you the praise and the glory for that.
Good morning, Dab family. This is Lauren, Virginia. I am asking for prayer for my two teenage sons. They just need to return to their first love, and they are not making wise decisions or choices. And as a mom, it's just heartbreaking to watch. They both have been raised in the Lord and just both made professions of faith and have been baptized. It seems like their hearts have grown cold and they're in the world, and it's just hard to watch. Thank you, family.
Hey, Dad family. I would like to reach out and ask if you could pray for the family of Armando De Leon. He's a 67-year-old man that is working with 20-year-olds in 100-degree heat, and spending every Sunday traveling to other small towns to preach. And ex-con spent 20 years in prison and preaches for the Lord. And his daughter, a few weeks ago, tried to commit suicide once. And today, his boss came up and told me he had to leave and asked if I had spoken to him, and he said it's what he was dealing with before. So, he is, a true, true soul and a true, true angel of God, and he's spoken to me about how he's talked to his daughter and told her how God loves her. And this is a big one. So if you could pray for that man, he'd pray for you. Thank you.